Okay, let's step off into our second hour with Michael Tesorian, learning some fascinating things about the Druids and the Gaelic roots, apparently, of an awful lot of our lost, strayed, or stolen history, as it were. Much of our history, of course, kept from us by the powers that be for a variety of reasons, and not the least of which, of course, is power and control. And Michael Tesorian has vowed to break through some of that darkness and illuminate for all of us some of the fascinating truths about Ireland. And this is all quite remarkable. Obviously, as we talked about in our first hour, the Romans were duly impressed with the Druids, as were others who came up against them. But they were, as I suggested, maybe too enlightened for their own good. They weren't warlike, bellicose, and weren't able to take care of themselves in a violent world, which we certainly haven't escaped in the interluding years. So, interesting.
Well, this is what was the legacy after the great pole shifts and the earth upheavals, that you did have these individuals who had been completely uprooted all over the world. All the empires that we know today are not original.
No, and every culture has at its base, as far back as you can trace it, a whole scenario of catastrophe.
Yes.
Everyone.
Yeah. Jack Barringer in his book Past Shock.
Yeah, all of it.
There's 30,000, you know, a text that still survived talking about this kind of thing.
Exactly. Catastrophic history abounds on the planet. Now, you mentioned something also, of course, in your works, and you talk about it. And for those out there who have read Edgar Cayce and Cayce's book on Atlantis, which really comprised a very small number of his total readings, of course, but nonetheless is absolutely fascinating, talking about how the Atlanteans stepped across the boundary lines of morality, of playing God, of combining animals, human and animal, animal and animal, which, of course, is genetic manipulation, which is what we're doing now. The parallels between the end times in Atlantis and our times today, Michael, have always been rather shocking. And the more I hear about genetic manipulation, and we only know what they tell us. We don't know what's been going on behind closed doors and in darkened secret labs or lighted secret labs for a long time, is amazing. And the parallels are, I think, something to be taken very seriously.
Well, Edgar Cayce was a genius. I've definitely grown up admiring his works. Another one of the great Americans that is slowly being forgotten. But he was a very, very perceptive. He did talk about these things. My work on my book on Atlantis is just to fill in, to flesh out some of the ideas of Rudolf Steiner and people like Edgar Cayce.
Right.
And you're absolutely right. You see, there's an old saying that if you think it, if you've heard that it's bad behind closed doors, it's three times worse than you've heard.
Right, good.
So I would take it on faith that there's all sorts of stuff going on that they haven't told us about. I keep my eyes very glued, you know, and I get people sending me stuff from all over the world, confederates of mine, you know, and people who are interested in my work, sending me the latest things that they've heard also on DNA research and genetics, and it's quite obvious that when somebody actually pays attention.
Well, here's a perfect case in point. We see stories from time to time about head transplants.
Yeah.
Not face, total head transplants.
Right.
You can bet that this has been tried in the past,
sure.
And maybe successfully so, maybe 20, 30 years ago.
I hope my work has proved to people, you know, that this Frankensteinian stuff is millennia old. You know, by the way, on the website at taroscopes.com, we have a free web stream of my talk on the origins of evil. So if people are, this is coming to this for the first time, we understand that, and we have provided plenty of sources for you. You know, we're not just shooting in the dark here. My particular website, be sure to use it. Use it as a resource. Go to the links page. Use those resources and sources there. We have free web stream of a talk that I did at ConspiracyCon last year on the origins of evil, which is, again, a concept that we have to understand is not Mother Nature's mess up, and it is not, you know, based in our negative relationship to God. This is, again, to do with the interference genetically and biologically in our being. And for those who are interested in this thesis, even though my book is not done, and the DVD on Atlantis, on the Irish origins of civilization will not be complete till next year, I have a lot of the points that we're going into right now on this show on my website. They just need to go to the astrotheology pages and go to page 2 of astrotheology, and there will be all the details and the, you know, the fuller expression of what we're talking about right here, Jeff.
Right. Okay, all right. So where do we go from here?
You mean future-wise?
Yeah. What do we do with our lost Druid past, the Gaelic past? What are you going to do with it?
Where this
do
you is go? Very, very important, because we are about to see the great establishments, these power brokers, their order is actually falling. So when people are talking about the coming of a new world order and this draconian Orwellian order and shiver with fear and hide under the bed, which is the usual response, what we really have to understand is it's going to be the opposite of all of that. Not that the power brokers are thinking that. They obviously do believe that they're going to have total control.
They don't seem to be able to look at the world objectively anymore, blinded by whatever, their power itself, I suppose. But one merely has to look at the world objectively in its totality to see that what you're suggesting is quite likely to be, in fact, what's going to happen and is happening.
Of course it will, because this is not the first time that this kind of rivalry has happened. Secondly, this kind of rivalry is for a very important reason. It's part of the karma, dharma situation that we find ourselves in. We brought it into being. As I said earlier, that anecdote about, you know, that there's no big brother comes in and takes your power, you give it away. Well, that is rooted in a metaphysical concept that should be familiar to a lot of your listeners, which is that the pathological person will create a pathocratic society. The schizoid person will create a schizogenic society. The paranoid person creates a paranoid society. In other words, the sick person creates a sick society. This is exactly what we're seeing. Then we may fool ourselves into believing that thing outside is affecting me. Well, of course, if you watch enough commercials, especially from the ones generated from the FDA, you'll definitely believe that all disease is something external to yourself, and we're mind-controlled into that. But as a matter of fact, no matter how mind-controlled you are, the fact remains a fact that we, through our inner being, create any type of external situation. Now, these connections between the microcosm and the macrocosm, well, we don't know about those. We've lost those. Science couldn't be bothered with that. And we're not taught this stuff in school that is actually so elementary. Even Native American Indians and ancient peoples, the Indians, a lot of Native groups know these connections between the psychic world and the physical world. And they know that there's tremendous connections. So that what goes on inside the psyche of the collective, in exactly the same way that Carl Jung spoke about in scientific terms, whatever goes inside of you eventually manifests externally to you. So when you have these vampiristic leaders, and when you have these deceivers, and when you have this toxic, pathological, schizogenic, paranoid society, we must look within for the reasons to this. Now, this is not something that America really wants to hear, because it wasn't brought up on these kinds of metaphysics. And therefore, it has a knee-jerk reaction to this kind of wisdom that the Eastern people, perhaps, and certain individuals, the pure ones within the New Age movement, they maybe are, you know, looking into this and have a bit of a grasp on these facts. But unfortunately, the masses of the individuals brought up under 18 years under fluorescent lights in these kinds of state schools, and who haven't picked up a book, who couldn't even read the newspaper unless it was written in eighth grade, you know, terminology, unfortunately, the vast mass does not understand this principle that what you are within, you create without. So in my reading, I know I come from a metaphysical background, so I'm sorry, this is my particular, you know, take on the thing. I am not so concerned with the external violence and wars and upheavals and draconian orders and all of these kinds of things. Mm-hmm. I see them, I understand them, but I know that their roots are within. They're projections of something that's happening in the inner being of people, and that is psychology, that is psychiatry, that is something that has to do with the inner nature of people.
Absolutely correct.
So you cannot have physical, social, domestic, and I mean domestic in your household. I'm talking right from the most pressing, you know, aspects of a person's life. They're domestic, they're relational, moving out to the social, moving out to the governmental, and all the way up the ladder. You cannot have hygiene and order in those spheres of operation until you have psychic hygiene within. It is simply not possible. Now, you said, how does this relate to the Druids and so on? It relates to the Druids because the Druids were shamanic tradition. It is the shamanic tradition that tells you or instructs us as to how to go about the psychic cleaning. If you murder, massacre, desecrate, and kill off all of these individuals, the witches had the same fate, the Gnostics had the same fate, the Essenes, the Cathars, the list goes on and on and on. And if you wipe out all of these people from the world, then you're not even going to be able to take care of the earth, and you're certainly not going to have the principles by which an individual, a man, comes to moral purity and hygiene. We don't have it.
Right. It wipes out the knowledge, of course, not just the people.
And all of that cleansing that is needed. Now, of course, we have been lucky in a way. We compensate a little bit. There's a New Age movement that tries in its own pathetic way
Yeah, but I think we have to go back to what you said. Much of that entire movement is really concerned with withdrawing and dropping out,
right?
Not correcting and fixing.
Which I have now noticed myself, and I completely agree. I was hoping that wasn't the case before I came to America. I was very optimistic about it, but I have to give a thumbs down to most of what I've seen, with very few exceptions, the Bruce Liptons of the world, you know, and a few others out
just
there.
Just had Bruce on.
You have.
What a genius.
Marvelous. So yeah. It's definitely there. The truth is there, and the great ones are there, and they always will be. But the 80% or whatever, you know, still has been
the
so
same,
escapist.
Same thing escapist. With the environmental movement. Same thing
same
happened.
Thing. Well, first of all, they're infiltrated. Let's understand.
They're taken over, bought off, and all the rest of
yeah.
it. Sure, that's how you.
But the fundamental fact is that the druidic teachings, or the shamanic tradition, or the Brahmanic tradition, or the original tantra traditions, whatever proto organization of true Gnosticism you go to, they teach one law and one truth only: that man is his own priest and woman her own priestess. To hell with all external authorities. You may need them in the beginning for some steadying action, but you certainly don't need them like a child, you know, the people who do the Tour de France do not need the stabilizers on their bicycle.
Gotcha. Okay, stand by. Well said. Michael Tsarian, and we'll continue in just a few minutes. Okay, right back with Michael Tsarian, talking about druids and druidism. Fascinating and little understood by most Americans. Just not something we have a common working, even rudimentary knowledge. If the average person were asked to write about druids and druidism, you might get a sentence out of them if you were lucky. It's just that kind of a vacuum, which Michael Tsarian is filling admirably tonight and has been working so hard for a long time to do that. We don't know much about druidic practices, as Michael has talked about, but it is basically felt by most scholars in the academic community that they were somehow conserving repositories of culture and lore. It is hotly debated about what they were conserving. Was it ancient history before their time, or was it something of an innovative nature that they had come up with? But Michael's work points to a much, much earlier origin of what they were conserving. And these people were, if you will, a living cultural library of something ancient, something very important, and something obviously extremely enlightened, which we would do very well to study with a more open mind as a culture. And that's what Michael is all about. Go ahead, my friend.
Well, the Latin term for the Druids was the Magi. So when you hear about the Magi visiting the Christ child, you know, again, let's understand what was being spoken of here. The word Magi doesn't really mean anything to those who don't research what these words mean. The word Magi refers to the Druids. We have to also understand what you've just spoken of, that the Druids were archivists. They understood that their origins were thousands of years back. That's how they happened to have all of these incredible developments. They had their own parliament, they had their own laws, they knew everything there was to know about astronomy.
And it threatened the Romans,
of course,
and it threatened everybody else.
So
because
you were
here
not,
was this here's this utopian
yes,
society,
absolutely,
and they had to be exterminated,
absolutely. And the old name for the cultures that they arose from, we know as Atlanteans, Lemurians. Some of the poetic writers, early historians, used to refer to that time as the Hyperboreans, meaning just it just meant extreme north.
The Greeks talked about the Druids as well. I mean, this was big news back then.
Well, the Greeks are descended from the Druids by way of the Etruscans. Here's another big lie that's been perpetrated in the world. They tell you that our first alphabets, and not only that, but our entire
Etruscan
culture,
alphabet, right.
Yeah, but our alphabet, our culture is Grecian by way of the Romans. What mm-hmm. they don't tell you is that the Greeks couldn't put it together themselves. They themselves were merely disseminators or broadcasters mm-hmm, of mm-hmm. knowledge that they had received from Etruscans. And you know why there's so little known about the Etruscans? Because the Etruscans were connected to the Celts. They were one and the same people. The Phoenicians, the Phoenicians, the Mycenaeans, the Minoans, the Etruscans, and the Hellenes. When you talk about Hellenistic culture, meaning
uh-huh.
Greek,
uh-huh.
the word Hellene means the shining ones or the enlightened ones. Hellenistic culture has the same word roots as the Celts. The Celtic word for the Irish, it wasn't with an I-R, I-S-H. That is a later anglicized version. The Irish originally was A-R-I-S-H, Irish.
Oh.
And the Ari, or the Irish, is the original. If you insert a Y instead of the I, you get the Aryan. And the Aryan means the noble ones, or the enlightened ones, or the illustrious ones, or the worshippers of the sun. It had nothing to do with race. So when you say the word Aryan, as confused by the Nazis, and has been completely taken out of context,
right.
It had nothing to do with race. Just as exactly the same way as the original word Jew did not have anything to do with the race. These refer to a company of peoples, a cult of individuals who worship the same kind of deity, who operated the same way and who had the same outlook.
Mm-hmm.
That was what the word Aryan meant. It could be anyone in the world from any race or any language. We have been taught to divide the world and to understand these things by way of language and also by race. And this is wrong. In ancient times, people did not distinguish themselves like that. They distinguished themselves on the kind of moral purity that they had and also on the veneration, the deities that they worshipped. So if you were a stellar cult or lunar cult, you see, that's why you still see on Islamic flags today the crescent moon and the star, betraying the fact that once upon a time, this was a lunar cult you were talking about, worshippers of the moon.
Hmm.
The ancient name of India was Sindh. S-I-N is the ancient name of the moon. All the Brahmins and Hindus originally were mother goddess worshippers who worshipped the moon. In Celtic Ireland, they had the Aryans, who went all over the world, and they were mostly sun worshippers, but also worshippers of the stars. So we have something here. But I want to emphasize what you were talking about earlier on, is what is the meaning of this for our times now? We are talking about the Druids of history. But the Druids of history, as I'm saying, saw every man and woman as a potential Druid, as a potential Christ, as a potential enlightened one. So the message that we take from this kind of thing is to forget about these institutional things. And also, by the way, in case anyone's listening, I'm not telling you to run off and get on some website and join some druidic order.
Neo-druids.
Right.
Yeah, no.
This is, you know, another subject, and we'll leave that aside for now. I am talking about the original central tenet of the religion of the druids, which is that each individual is a shaman. Each individual has a responsibility for what happens in the world.
Mm-hmm.
You can run around with bows and arrows and with placards and try to fix it in the political pigsty that Big Brother has created for you. If you want to keep on doing that, decade after decade, please go ahead. But there is another way to combat this kind of toxicity and this kind of devilry in the world. And that is to deal with your own house. As the real Christ said, you know, the God is within, and the whole message was to heal thyself. Right? This is, the message of this has been lost. Carl Jung, Sigmund Freud, Wilhelm Reich, they tried to bring it back. They went blue in the face trying to tell us how to do it. Did we pay any attention? No, we didn't. Ayn Rand came into the light of America, this incredible philosopher, tried to warn people about what was happening to the state of the self and how altruism was wiping over the country and liberalistic ideals that she had already seen in operation in Russia. Did we listen? No. You see, we are not in a healing situation because we have just totally not listened to those who have been trying to assist us in this process.
We are certainly not in a healing modality, that's for sure. Stand by, we'll do our break and come right back in just a couple minutes with Michael Tesarian. Okay, back with Michael Tesarian. So the ancient druid masters represented a clear and present danger to the more primitive, if you will, military industrial complexes of those days, with the Roman Empire most notably, and they were just targeted and basically eliminated. No surviving documentation at all, none. All that we know basically is anecdotal. and from what Julius Caesar wrote about them and others, and he did write about them. Here's another little quote from Caesar. He said, "The principal point of their doctrine is that the soul does not die, and that after death it passes from one body into another." So there you go.
Fantastic. I have a quote here from another woman who wrote on this in the 1960s, called Isabel Hill Elder, and she says that far from these ancestral Britons, and that's Bretons, having been merely painted savages roaming wild in the woods, as we have imaginatively been told by modern histories, they are now, on the contrary, disclosed by newly found historical facts given by Professor Waddell, known to have been, from the very first grounding of their ships on the shores, over a millennia and a half before Christian era, a highly civilized, literate race, the pioneers of civilization. So we are talking about our ancestors here, not some remote, you know, fanciful thing on sort of cartoon time. This is our ancestors. We cannot inherit the future unless we look to our past and find out who we are. We have been systematically and gradually disconnected from our ancestral roots. I am talking about the Irish, but the Irish, A-R-I-S-H, as the Aryans, were the seed of all culture. We have to get to grips with this movement of culture and civilization from the West to the East. Now, it's very strange, isn't it, that the Druids, who specialized in an oral tradition and who sponsored the minstrels and who sponsored the fairy tales and the folklore and the legends, today we have the same message coming back to us in the folklore of our time through music. One particular instance I can think of is Robert Plant from Led Zeppelin.
Oh, yeah?
He wrote the lines in the song Stairway to Heaven, you know, there's a feeling I get when I look to the west, right? And he's talking about the piper. If we all call the tune, then the piper will lead us to reason. So we have a minstrel tradition that is still in our existence today. In Tolkien's Lord of the Rings, there's a mention of the men of the west. You know, so we have a situation here that's being taught to us back. The Hyperboreans, or the Atlanteans, were referred to in Tolkien's work as the Numenoreans. So anyone who's picked up that book and is looking into this man's work, he is referring to the same people, just in veiled language. He's speaking about these individuals who are our ancestors, but more than just racial or ethnic ancestors. These are our spiritual ancestors. I am not concerned with some mediocre, you know, tracing back of our ethnic or racial roots. That is of no interest to me, that kind of genealogy. It's fascinating, I know, but we're talking about meta-themes here. We're talking about the spiritual forefathers, the spiritual shamanic tradition, that if we don't find out what it was, and I don't mean in this bogus, as you were saying, bogus New Age way, which has had plenty of time now, 30 years to get on the track, and it hasn't done a very good job.
No, in fact, it's going in the opposite direction.
Sure it has. It's been
co-opted and commercialized.
Precisely. Absolutely. Couldn't agree more. And, you know, it's the bane of my work to have to even be associated with that kind of milieu, but there you have it. You know, one has to speak to the audience as you find them. But I'm finding in this country there are the Edgar Cayces, and there are the Glenn Kimballs, and there's people who go there and see with their own eyes that something is not right with the history of this world.
It's it's upside down and backwards is what it is.
It very much is. There's a fantastic quote by Conor McDarry, if I may read it. It's not very long.
Yeah.
He wrote a book called The Bible, which is an Irish book, and it's a very hard-to-find book, as you well can imagine, because it's very controversial.
Mm-hmm.
Conor McDarry says that Christianity came from Judaism. This is acknowledged by churchmen.
Mm-hmm.
But it never has been truthfully divulged before where Judaism has had its origins and its home. Or who were the Hebrews and the Jews? The term Hebrew and Jew for deceptive purposes has been conferred upon a people of Aramaic race and is a misnomer to call this people the modern so-called Jews. So what Jews and Christians have to realize is that they have been given stamps. They have been given names, they have been given titles, and they've been given ethnic identity to which they do not belong. First, no rabbi will ever debate what I'm talking about, because all rabbis understand that no Jew living today can trace their ancestry back further than the 17th century. To talk about that any Jew living today,
that's it,
to have their origins back to the Holy Land, the so-called, is a total preposterous historical fallacy, and very few people will ever now make that statement, because
well, we know the Khazars adopted Judaism in the 9th century A.D.
My next point was going to be that, and more so, if we even were to doubt my first statement, then we find out with a little bit of research, and by the way, this is research from Jewish sources, like Arthur Koestler and others, who absolutely tell you that 80% of the Jews living today are actually converted to Judaism as a religion and have nothing racially or ethnically connected to the Holy Land. So our point is this. Anyone can convert to any religion. Tomorrow I can go and convert to Baha'i religion. Tomorrow you could go and convert to Judaism, as millions of Jews have done. They are Jewish by conversion.
Right.
This is a completely different world of study and understanding than to say who are our progenitors.
Well, it becomes religion of convenience.
Exactly. But what we have to understand is, I'm not saying for people now to say that this threatens your religion. No, of course not. What you stay worshiping what you do. The Jews have a fine, upstanding religion. I am now saying, find out the lie that has also been perpetrated on you, that your ancestors have been disguised. Do you know about your connections to the pharaohs of Egypt that is now suddenly coming to light through the works of Lawrence Gardner and other fantastic writers? Do you know about your connections to the Irish Druids? Or do you want to continue thinking that all the world is separate and that you're just a separate group over here and the Christians are just divided over here? Is that the world that we want, or are we ready to discover the intimate connections that we have with many other races?
I know. It's so sad to watch this compartmentalization and how one group, whether it be Christian supremacists or Muslim supremacists...
But you know something, Jeff? I say to your audience clearly, and I hope that they put down everything they're doing and they listen very carefully to this. If people are not willing to then put aside these differences, then do not talk to me about fighting the Illuminati or changing the world status quo, because the world status quo operates by a divide and rule plan.
Always has, always will, using organized religion as its primary tool of oppression and extortion.
You got it, my friend. And I'm telling you that that works in a little country like Ireland, to be torn to shreds, that the people are totally lost since the 1600s and before. If it works for a little country like that, it'll easily work for America, or it'll work for the entire planet. If you cannot look to your synthesis as to why, where you come from, what your origins are, and what your kindredness is.
Nice word.
Yes, to everyone in the world. Why did the Arthurians, why is the King Arthur's table a round table? Because no man is head. It is the company of all. And that means even the rivals, even the enemies.
Right.
We have to sit down, put it all, like Lieutenant Bo Greitz has said many times, if somebody is shooting at you, you better arm up and you better find out who is this, you know, threat that is shooting at the human family. Because if there's anyone listening in the reach of our voices who doesn't know that we are being shot at as the human race, my God, then there's no waking that
Indeed.
Kind of person
All
up.
Right. Hold on, and right back after a couple of minute break with Michael Tesorian. Okay, we're back. It's almost as if Western society has lost its rearview mirror. No one's looking behind anymore to study and learn and try to really extract from the past knowledge and wisdom which would allow us to circumvent many of the terrible crises we've been facing. We just have not learned from history. And that's, of course, no accident. It's being done to all of us by design. We're being pushed forward faster all in all. Every time we look around, there's something new technological being thrown at us. And they are way ahead, as Michael said, and as many have said. They're ahead of us 10, 20, 30, 40 years.
And yet...
They let it trickle down, and they tease us, and they torment us, and they extract money from us, and they keep us playing, and they keep us diverted and misdirected and all the rest of it.
And yet, what every single thing that we have said, and a great deal of what you have also spoken of with other guests, anything that comes under the heading of alternative history or these occult matters, is taught to the elites that control us.
They know.
The masses may not know this, but I can tell you that the game is well into all the facts that we can discuss, or we can sit here for till next year talking this. Every part of this is known to the Freemasons, the highest Freemasons, I mean, and these other cabals. I wanna
and of course, I must always give credit where credit's due. Jordan Maxwell was the first one to really open that door to me, and he is a master of this line of study, as are you.
He's, who do you think it was when I got to this country, stood up on stage, and to my absolute amazement, said to his audience, Christianity comes from Celtic Druidism. It was Jordan.
Well, there you go.
You know, it stunned me. Here's me, a man after my own heart.
Yeah.
What's his number? You know?
Yeah.
Now, here, I mean, you're talking about people not looking back in history. We may be historically amnesiac, but you see, history is in our life whether we like it or not. The reason why
history
we write.
History runs our lives whether we like it or not. We just don't know it.
The person who's writing on a page from left to right is doing so because he lives in the Northern Hemisphere, and that used to be a mimicry of the sun's movement across the sky.
Mm-hmm.
When somebody, you know, says, refers to the leaf of a book, turn the leaves of a book, that term comes because of the Druids, because they used to actually write on the leaves, and their whole alphabet was based on the letters, based on the trees. The 13 sacred trees of Ireland is the basis of the script. So that is where we get the term leaves of a book. The Jewish term rabbi, which is teacher or holy one, mm-hmm. is a word that is Celtic from Abari, A-B-A-R-I. And it was a druid called Abaris, A-B-A-R-I-S. People can find all this information on the website. It was Abaris that traveled from Celtic Ireland to the school of Pythagoras. And Pythagoras, in his own writing, says that it was through instruction of the druidic colleges, and particularly through this traveling druid mm-hmm. called Abaris, the rabbi, that the Pythagorean schools of ancient Greece began.
Wow.
This is historically documented.
What amazing people.
These teachers had colleges all over the world that the Egyptians, the Etruscans, the Minoans, the Cretans, the Brahmanic people from the Far East all came to Druidic colleges originally, all over the world.
Hmm.
Now, on those same sites, just like the Library of Alexandria was burned down, all of these colleges were systematically wiped out with the extermination of the Druids. Hmm. And on those sites, physically, if you go there, there's Christian churches now. All the round towers that were in Ireland, these beautiful observatories which had temples in the bottom, and then up at the top they had astronomical observation towers with telescopes and the whole works, all were removed in Ireland, and then churches were put on them so that the people would still come to their traditional places of worship, but uh-huh. now it would be this patriarchal, very much dumbing down kind of religion which is still right. in evidence today.
Right, right. Wow. Fascinating. How many artifacts and relics are left of Druid culture?
In Ireland, a lot, if you know what you're looking for. Because of the taboo of going there, even though there's enormous desecration, because the people today, like the farmers who own the land, have a little bit of fear and superstition, they tended to leave a lot of the relics behind, and still they wouldn't tamper with them. So luckily, we still have enough. We have a place called Newgrange, for instance, which is older than the pyramids, and people like Arthur C. Clarke and Graham Hancock have thoroughly checked this amazing phenomena out. So the oldest megalithic site in the world is not in Egypt. It's in Ireland. People have noticed about Stonehenge. Stonehenge is perfectly aligned, geometrically.
It was also, in fairness, partially reconstructed in
yes.
the early part of the last century.
All of these were, and they were also tampered with. For instance, the great stones that are the foundation of Newgrange were systematically removed. These are quite ginormous stones. They were actually taken out and turned round because they had elaborate cosmological leitmotifs about the fall of Atlantis and the hybridization and the sacred languages. So what happened is that these hundreds of stones were actually turned inwards. So if you go and visit there today, you just see these blank stones, whereas on the other side facing in. Can you imagine the kind of debauchery that these modern historical enclaves from Trinity College in Ireland have done? They suppressed the Gaelic language till it was almost eradicated because they didn't want it to be understood that this was a parent language of the entire globe, the entire world. Just in my work, you know, again, I refer people to my website, go to Astrotheology, page 2, because there's something here that we need to know about that is very, very important to understand the kind of antiquity of this New World Order. It's not something new. We think it's about to be leveled on us. Yes, in an American context it is, because unfortunately the Americans have fallen fast asleep and the wolf is at the door. But America is a relatively new continent, a new social...
It's a flash in the pan.
Right. It's a very modern country, and unfortunately it's teetering on the brink of extinction right now.
Right.
But this totalitarianistic kind of besiegement on the people of America is an old story to us over in Ireland and in Europe. There's been a whole monopoly of knowledge, of history, that needs to be understood because it has context to this country, because in this country, the Irish were here first, and that was proven by Barry Fell, who was ridiculed his whole life, and his books are, you know, very difficult to find. Another genius American scholar that most people don't know about and will never be taught in the schools.
Well, we should also mention Michael Cremo's work.
Absolutely. 100% agree with that. I know Michael. We've had many conversations about this. And again, absolutely the science is in. You know, I refer to these scientific works in my own works, and when I do the DVD and my book on this, The Irish Origins of Civilization, all of these scientific verifications and evidences will be shown. There's another book, for instance, on the archaeology of the Middle East that's just come out by a fantastic professor of archaeology, and he wrote a book called The Mythic Past, The Myth of Israel, and he is Thomas L. Thompson, and his book is referred to on my astrotheology pages. Right now, you can pick up a book that tells you that everything that we hear about in the Bible that says that this civilization and this culture was seated in the Middle East is total fiction. It did not happen. That's provable by archaeology. Of course, in the world of belief and superstition, we believe it. But in the world of evidence and science, there's not a shred of evidence for it.
This whole thing of religion on the planet has been nothing but horror for people.
Isn't it, really?
When you think about it, honestly, the death, the suffering, the destruction, the rape, pillage, annihilation, all done in the name of someone's god or gods.
Yeah.
It's just absurd.
And everybody believing that their particular slant on it is right.
And it's okay to kill because our god says so. And on and on. We're not going to make it, Michael, unless we cast off. Technology is blowing past us so fast now. Americans don't have a clue about how fast the world is changing. Literally in this century, it's estimated by some that 20,000 years of progress, if we survive, will visit us in the next 100 years.
But see, Jeff, I am myself not an enemy of either science or religion, and I know you're not either. My particular critiques and thesis is always based on this, that science and religion, science and spirituality, must work together. The smart people on the earth know that and have been doing that. My contention is with who is using religion and science, you know, which are neutral. Who is using these for another agenda? Who's using corporate symbolism in order to dumb down our youth and make them delinquent and just walking around like zombies?
How do you awaken intellect in someone when it's dead? It's not there, never developed, stillborn, however you want to phrase it.
You have to diagnose each situation individually.
It's an individual rehabilitation project at some point. If someone comes along, fortunately, in someone's life who can help them out of the darkness into the light of intellectual viability.
If the passion is already there. If you're not asked the question, then don't bother your ass.
No, I agree.
You know, the time is too short. But if the question is there, then by all means, you know, like what I do through the books, DVDs, websites, then it's natural for me to, you know, disseminate the knowledge that I've learned and that fascinate me. It's just an extension of who I am.
You've been fortunate to find your passion, and you're doing it magnificently. We've got just a couple minutes left, Michael. 2012, the Mayan calendar.
Yeah.
A lot of talk about that. We're already seeing books with 2012 on the cover and the title.
I have a DVD coming out in January.
Okay.
15 hours long on the subject.
Anything in your work with the Druids and ancient Celtic past that substantiates this 2012 thing?
Of course it is. They're talking about, like the Greeks did, that cycles come and go. There is historical phases, rhythms, that certain civilizations arise and then they fall. I can refer people to my latest article. It's right on the front of the website. And it is talking about the Age of Aquarius and the future of mankind, and it deals with this subject. And the basic answer to your question is that all thinkers and philosophers understood that history moves in cycles. What we're receiving at 2012 is not the end of nature and not the end of time itself or these objective phenomena. It is the end of the way that we have been living. I am all for it because the way we've been living is not life.
No,
so I have no worries about it at all, and I emphasize what I said in the middle of our show. Those individuals who are psychically clean and who are ethical and moral and haven't been living at the cost of another person have nothing to fear, because only the fear-mongers and the people who are dire inside, the individuals that I talk about on my Origins of Evil discussion, these individuals who are just rotten inside, they're the ones who have something to fear from what's coming. 2012 is a watershed. It is a moment where the kind of life that we as a human race have been living ethically, spiritually, economically, militaristically, socially, those patterns are going to fade out and come to an end, and we'll have another kind of life after that. And we are now in the countdown situation to that. 2007, in my astrological work, I always talk about this. In 2007, we're going to start to see the countdown, the beginning of that. Actually, if you're really intuitive, it's already been happening.
I already noticed it myself.
Exactly.
Michael, we're just out of time. This visit, you'll come back again. It's always a pleasure. You have a magnificent mind, and your study is just extraordinary. And I thank you for sharing it.
But a single individual, without the radio shows like yourself, what if the airways are dead? Then how good is the message? So I have people like yourself to thank for believing in what I do.
Thank you.
And giving me that platform. Thanks a lot.
Okay, my friend. Talk soon.
We'll talk again, brother.
Okay. Good night.
Bye-bye.
Michael Tesarian. And find your passion in life. He's found his. And see how fascinating it is when someone is really doing something they believe in and pour themselves into. It's wonderful to hear. All right. We'll be back in 21 hours.